Welcome to the second season of True Crime Naija. In this season, we bring you stories of crimes that happen not only in Nigeria, but also across Africa.
We hope that by sharing these stories, we all become more aware of the types of crimes that happen here.
And by becoming aware, we become smarter at detecting and hopefully preventing similar crimes.
This episode and other episodes of True Crime Naija can be found on our 234 Audio YouTube channel, on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, let's get started.
It's June 2020 in Johannesburg, South Africa's biggest city. Shaba is sitting in his house in Florida, a suburb about a 20-minute drive west of Johannesburg.
Shaba has a lot on his mind, but he's trying to do some work as a distraction. His phone rings.
Shaba looks at the phone, and it's someone he knows, so he picks it up.
Hello?
Hi, Shaba. I'm calling about Pule.
Shaba and Pule are lovers. Like every normal couple, they argue. Sometimes they try to ignore each other, but they just can't stay away from each other for long. Pule lives in Soweto, which is about 18 minutes away from Shaba's house in Florida. The last time he saw Pule was 4 days ago, when she visited him. They had a nice time and she left afterwards.
Shaba, they found Pule. She's dead.
Shaba is stunned.
What? What do you mean dead?
Shaba knew that Pule was missing. He was at the police station yesterday with her family to file a missing persons report. He even gave them CCTV footage from his apartment, hoping it would help them track her down. He wasn't expecting to hear that she was dead.
They just found her. She was dangling from a tree and she had a bullet in her head. She was shot.
The phone slips from Shaba's hand.
Hello? Hello? Shaba, are you there?
Shaba's mind is racing. He picks up the phone again. The baby. What about the baby?
I'm sorry, Shaba.
Hi, I'm Antonietta.
I'm Richard.
And I'm John.
And this story...
This story...
could save your life.
Six months earlier, it's January 2020, and Pule is sitting on her bed. Tego Fatsopule is a 28-year-old makeup artist who lives in Johannesburg. Pule is a beautiful and happy woman who is passionate about looking good and making others look good.
Right now, she's staring at the test result from the hospital. It says she's 3 months pregnant. A whole 3 months. She's thinking about how to break the news to Shaba, the guy she's dating. She smiles as she looks over at his picture on her nightstand. Nsutuko Shaba is a handsome man with a bald head and a full beard. He may not be perfect, but Pule loves him dearly.
She looks back at the test result and her smile fades. You see, Shaba is a nice guy, but Pule doesn't think he would be too excited to learn that she's pregnant.
Oh no, probably because they are not married.
Maybe. When Pule finally summons the courage to tell Shaba, he isn't happy about it, but he eventually just accepts it. He starts to send her money to cover the hospital bills and medication.
3 months go by. It's April 2020. And Pule is at work sorting out her makeup products when she receives a call.
Hello? Hello, is this Tego Fatsopule?
Yes. How may I help?
I need you to leave my man alone. Leave Shaba. Get away from him or I will deal with you. You cheap...
For 2 months, April and May, Pule continues to get calls from that number. The person keeps wanting her to leave Shaba alone.
Wow. Did she tell Shaba about the calls?
We are not sure if she did, but Pule eventually blocks the number and the calls stop.
A few days after she blocks the number, Pule receives a text from an unknown number.
Hi, Tsego Fasopule. This is Zambi. I know you are an excellent makeup artist here in Soweto. There is a vacancy for a makeup artist with good pay, and I would like you to get the job.
Pule reads the text, but it sounds like a scam, so she ignores it. But the next day, Pule gets another text message from the same number.
Hi, Tsego Fasopule. I would like to inquire if you are interested in the job offer.
Pule replies, call me.
That's smart. at least she can get more information over the phone before committing to anything.
True. So after she tells this Zambi person to call her, she starts to receive calls from a hidden number. But whenever she picks up, the person on the other end doesn't say anything.
Weird.
Then she receives a text message from Zambi again.
That's the unknown number that made the job offer, right?
Right. So Zambi tells Puli to come for an interview at McDonald's, but Puli just ignores the message.
I would ignore it too. I mean, this seems really weird.
Really, really weird. But Zambi keeps sending Puli text messages, and Puli ignores them. Then Zambi sends a final message.
Hi, Sego Faso Puli. Sorry I'm running late. When you get to McDonald's, there would be a jeep opposite it. Just get into the jeep.
Is this Zambi even serious? Like, take a hint, you are being ignored.
Zambi obviously doesn't seem to be getting the memo. But when Pule does not respond, Zambi finally gets it and stops texting.
On the 4th of June, Pule visits Shoba at his home. She is 8 months pregnant now. Shoba and Pule spend time together at his apartment. After hanging out for a few hours, Pule says she'll be heading home.
Shoba walks her outside where a jeep is waiting to pick her up. Call me once you get home, he says to her as he opens the rear passenger door. Pule slides into the back seat, rubbing her belly as she leans into the seat. She looks over at Shoba, smiles, and then she says, I'll call you when I get home. Shoba closes the door and stares at the car as the driver zooms off.
But that day, Shoba does not hear from Pule. The next day, when she still doesn't call him, he tries to reach her, but her number does not connect.
It's 7th June, 3 days since Pule left Shoba's house, and he still hasn't heard from her, so he decides to call her cousin. Pule's cousin tells Shoba that she was at the police station with the rest of the family because Pule is missing.
Hi everyone, it's Nabila, and I'm here to tell you about our other podcast show, The Backstory. Every week, we pick one important news headline in Nigeria and we analyze it from different angles. So, if you're looking for a more comprehensive approach to the news, check out The Backstory on your 234 Audio YouTube channel, on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, back to the show.
Shoba is in shock. He has just found out that his girlfriend Pule, who is 8 months pregnant with his child, is missing. Her family is at the police station to file a missing persons report, and Shoba is on his way to join them. When he gets to the station, the police ask him a few questions.
When was the last time you saw Pule?
Well, she came to visit me 3 days ago. We spent some time together and then she went home the same day.
How did she get home? Did you drive her?
No, a car picked her up, a jeep. I thought she called for an Uber. The car was just waiting for her outside of the apartment when we came out.
What was the color of the jeep?
It was gray, I think. Yes, I'm pretty sure it was gray.
What about the driver? Did you get a good look at the driver?
Well, not really. He had a face mask on. COVID-19, you know.
During the questioning, Shoba tells the police that he actually has a CCTV camera at his apartment and that maybe they could get more information from it.
The police go to Shoba's apartment and they take the CCTV camera and footage for further analysis. They could see the gray jeep that picked up Pule, just like Shoba described it, but the video didn't capture the number plates of the car. The police hang on to the video and inform the family that they will continue their investigation.
The next day, 8th of June, is when Shoba gets the call that Pule is dead. The police had found her body. She had been shot and her body was hung from a tree in an open field in Soweto, about 20 to 25 minutes southwest from his house in Florida. Someone had murdered Pule and the 8-month-old she was carrying.
My God.
Shoba immediately reaches out to Pule's family and they tell him that the police have a lead.
The footage from Shoba's house showed the car that picked up Pule, the gray jeep, but it didn't capture the license plate numbers. So the police asked around for CCTV footage from people living near Shoba's house. Luckily, one of the cameras caught the license plate number.
The police trace the plate number and discover that on that day, the Jeep was driven by a 31-year-old man named Muzikaise Malifani. The police immediately arrest Malifani. During interrogation, Malifani makes a shocking confession. He says that someone hired him to kill Pule, and that someone is her boyfriend, Shoba.
Malifani tells the police that Shoba had called him and offered him 7,000 rand to kill Pule. That's about 200,000 naira or $500. But Malifani refused because, according to him, the money was too small. Shoba then increased the offer to 20,000 rand, but he still felt the money was small.
I mean, he's been asked to kill a person.
Right. So after Malifani rejected the second amount, Shoba offered him 70,000 rand, about 2 million naira or $5,000. And that was when Malifani agreed to kill Pule.
Now, Shoba denies all of this. He says he does not know Malifani and definitely did not hire him to kill Pule.
But why would Shoba want Pule dead?
Well, according to Malifani, Shoba needed to kill Pule because he did not want his wife to find out about her pregnancy.
Wait, what? Wife? Shoba is married?
Yes, Shoba is married, but Pule knew this. She had known the whole time they were dating, and they had been dating for 2 years. So Shoba says it makes no sense for him to suddenly want to kill Pule.
So who's telling the truth?
Well, the police believe both of them were involved, but that Shoba was the mastermind. So Malifani agreed to serve as a state witness against Shoba in exchange for a lesser sentence. He was sentenced to 20 years imprisonment for the murder of Pule, as well as 5 years for defeating the ends of justice, possession of unlicensed firearm, and possession of ammunition. They then charged Shoba for murder, alternative conspiracy to commit murder, as well as defeating the ends of justice.
Shoba's trial is set for later this year, October 2021. In the meantime, he and his lawyer filed for bail to be granted to him pending the start of the trial. Shoba claimed that he never met Malifani and that the only contact they had was when Shoba bought cigarettes and alcohol from him during the lockdown. Shoba also accused Malifani of being in a relationship with Pule.
At the bail hearing, the prosecution revealed WhatsApp conversations between Shoba and Pule. Turns out that this was not the first time Pule was pregnant with Shoba's child. He had asked her to abort the first one. And when she got pregnant this second time, he had asked her to abort the baby again.
Ha!
Yup, but Pule refused. She found out that she was pregnant when she was already 3 months in. She believed God would punish her if she aborted the baby at 3 months. After persuading Shoba, he agreed that she could keep the baby.
Maybe he didn't want the baby at first, but that doesn't mean he wanted Pule dead.
True, but the prosecution had more information. Shoba had two phones, one which was registered and one which was not registered. Remember that sometime in May 2020, someone had invited Pule for an interview.
Oh yes, someone named Zambi, right?
Exactly. Turns out that those messages were coming from Shoba's unregistered phone. Shoba was sending those messages.
What?
The prosecution believes that he was trying to set up a trap for her with the fake job interview. But when that didn't work, he hired Malifani.
But Shoba said he didn't know Malifani, right?
Yes, but the prosecution revealed that that was a lie. Shoba and Malifani went to high school together, and on the day that Pule was killed, Shoba used his unregistered phone to call Malifani 23 times.
Busted.
Even after all these revelations, Shoba's lawyer insisted that Shoba should be granted bail because he willingly assisted the police by giving them the CCTV footage that helped them find Malifani.
But the prosecution countered, saying that it wasn't Shoba's CCTV footage that helped them find Malifani, but rather the other CCTV footage that they sourced by themselves. The prosecution said that Shoba knew that his footage did not capture the license plate number, but volunteered it so that he could mislead the police.
According to the prosecution, Shoba hired Malifani to kill Pule. Then he tried to mislead the police, and he also lied to the court several times. He should not be granted bail. So Shoba was denied bail.
But on the 7th of May, 2021, Shoba applied for a second bail hearing. He said he is the breadwinner of his family and his grandmother needs him. He also said that his job was at risk if he remained in custody for too long. Shoba also told the court that the police were planning to transfer him to the Johannesburg prison to await his trial. But he has been receiving threats from Malifani that he would kill Shoba once he gets to the prison.
Oh, Malifani is at the Johannesburg prison? Wait, is he really threatening Shoba?
We do not know, but the police informed the court that prisoners who are already sentenced are not kept in the same section of the prison as those awaiting trial. So there is little risk that Malifani could attack Shoba. And about his job, Shoba worked as an IT manager at Johannesburg Stock Exchange, but a spokesperson for the company confirmed that they had fired Shoba given the ongoing murder investigation.
The court ruled that since Shoba had not brought in any new fact to help his case in this second bail application, he would remain in custody and be moved to the Johannesburg prison to await his trial in October 2021.
So here's what I don't get. Who was calling Pule and telling her to leave Shoba alone?
We still do not know. It may have been Shoba simply trying to scare Pule off, or just one of his other girlfriends.
And all those calls and text messages about the job offer, those came from Shoba's unregistered phone. But at one point, the text message instructed Pule to go to McDonald's and get into a Jeep. Was that the same Jeep that picked her up after she left Shoba's apartment?
The prosecution believes so. They believe that was Shoba's first attempt to kill Pule, but since she didn't fall for it, he hired Malifani.
Pule was so smart to ignore those calls and text messages. But I wonder, did she actually call an Uber or some other rideshare to pick her up, and a Jeep just happened to show up? Or did Shoba tell her he would call for a car and then he arranged for the Jeep to come instead?
Well, the prosecution believes that Shoba must have been the one to order the ride. I mean, Pule wouldn't just get into a car she didn't order for.
And another thing, the baby also died. And even though she had not yet delivered, she was 8 months pregnant. Does that mean Shoba and Malifani will get charged for the death of the baby as well?
We're not sure, but the current charge against him is for Pule's murder and trying to mislead the police in their investigation. The case is still awaiting trial. We'll bring you updates as we learn more.
Join us next week for another episode of True Crime Niger. This time we are back in Nigeria for the story of a young university student who is searching for accommodation and ends up getting help from the wrong people. True Crime Niger is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2021 Triple E Media Productions. This episode of True Crime Niger was produced by Antonietta Kalunta, John Iwodi, Richard Anyebe, Nico Rivers, and Sam Tabak Aji. Executive producer Ramat Muhammad. Special thanks to Rabia Hadeja and Mala Iwa Gbadu Ikaleku. Stay alert, stay alive. See you next week.